12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon. It is a Friday afternoon. Pumped up. We got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. Doesn't mean we can't talk football inside the 12 o'clock hour. It just means it's like really focused football. Like real focused stuff. But we will have, we're going to bring E-Hubs on. Ellison Hubbard. Still in that transfer portal. We'll get the latest on that. But I like getting a player's perspective just on other stuff going on. And now that he's not like committed to a team right now, kind of opens him up. He can talk a little more. So that'll be a fun segment coming up. We'll actually get him on the phone in about a few minutes here. Zach Stevens is going to join us at 12:30. Talk all things Denver Broncos. Where are we with the Teddy Bridgewater situation? And if Teddy can't go, are we in trouble with Drew Lock? What's that look like? The Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. If the Broncos lose to Pittsburgh on Sunday, is it panic time for the Broncos? Is it panic time? Some are saying no. Quite a few are saying no, it's not. But it's certainly an important stretch. But I say yes, it's panic time. Pittsburgh's a wreck right now. They are in a tough, tough spot. You know, they're riding off Big Ben. It's all, you know, it's coming to this. They're not a good offense. Their defense is kind of middle of the road. It's Pittsburgh. As long as Mike Tomlin's there, they're still going to have kind of a, at least somewhat of a respectable defense. But I kind of do think that if you don't beat Pittsburgh, it's time to press the panic button. If Denver loses to Pittsburgh on Sunday, is it panic time for the Broncos? That's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Go vote at thewholeshow.com and let me know what you think. Oof, I'm really struggling on these Thursday night picks. Doesn't it feel like something weird always happens, whether my team's about to cover the spread or my team's about to take a commanding lead going into the half? Seattle scored a touchdown late in that half to go up 14-3. Holding, called back, and then they missed the field goal shortly after that. It's a weird, weird game. Matt Stafford, though, he looked awful in the first half. Might have messed up his finger a little bit. I'd say he got it together.
Stafford throws, completes to Woods. Having a big night. Stafford steps into it, completes to Woods again. Stafford end zone. Higbee caught it. Touchdown.
I mean, he was missing guys all night in that first half, and then suddenly something clicked. How about this one, Colfax? There was a double punt. There was a blocked punt. The Rams blocked Seattle's punt. Punter goes, rolls around, acts like he's going to run, and then goes ahead and kicks it again.
Aaron Donald now. Oh, here's a block. Blocked off the foot of Dixon, and Dixon now kicks it.
Well, that's coming back.
That's coming back as this goes down near the 10, but that's two kicks for the price of one.
There's no foul for illegally kicking the ball.
They brought on their correspondent too, right? And he's like, oh no, you can't do that. And then the refs are like, yeah, you can do that. But then if you look at the replay, he's over the line of scrimmage when he double punted it. So none of it should have happened, but you gotta hand it to Dixon. Like that Dixon, not evil arch nemesis Dixon of the show. But that was a smart thing by him to just pick it up. I'm going to run. Oh, I'm going to get killed here, so I better punt it off. Joining us now, we've got Ellison Hubbard, former Colorado State Ram. He's in the transfer portal. Ellison, my friend, how are you?
I'm good, Brady. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Have you ever seen a double punt?
Not in my years of football, no.
That's crazy,
I've never seen a double punt.
Apparently it's legal, but we don't know that it's legal because the former head of officiating saying that it wasn't, and then the officials last night in that game said it was fine.
I mean, I guess because it's a first-time thing, you're going to kind of go like, you know, we'll discuss this more. Let's just not give it to him. We'll give it to him, you know, so – when I saw the play, I was just in shock that that even happened. That I thought he was going to take off, and he's like, nope, I'm going to get sacked or tackled. So I'm going to kick it off. So that was pretty interesting.
No, it really was. It was crazy. You know, I something smart, I suppose. I was thinking about Stonehouse. You know, your old guy, your pal. Would he do that? Or you know, he's a good enough punter. Well, he can think about that and maybe roll to the left and take off.
You know, I think Stonehouse would possibly do that. You know, I'm not going to take risk of getting hit and hurting myself, so I'm just going to kick it off, and maybe we might get a re-kick. Who knows? So, you know, if I was him, I would definitely have done that just for my safety.
Well, I mean, punters, too. I mean, trust me, some of these punters can work out and get, you know, get fit and stuff, but they're not as big as you guys. You guys are terrifying.
No.
I would be punting it, bouncing off my head, just get that ball away from me so I don't die.
Exactly, or I'm going to get really injured out there. And those dudes are huge in the NFL, so I'm not taking any chance.
No, no way, man. All right, Ellison, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit. You and I were going back and forth via text earlier this week. The Urban Meyer thing. Now, you saw the video, I guess the videos now of everything that Urban was in trouble with. And, you know, I've had some texters that are like, you know what, he's out. He's on his own free time. He's out doing his own thing. Why are we busting his chops? Most people are like, dude, that's a bad look. How would you view this? Let's just pretend that he's a college coach again, and he's your coach, and you saw that video as a player that's playing for Urban Meyer or any coach. Mike Bobo, I can't imagine that guy going out and doing that, man.
But
if you saw that from your coach, the exact same scenario, he chose not to fly home with you. He stayed at his hometown so he could see his grandkids. Then he ended up staying at his restaurant, and then we all know what happened next. How would you view that personally, Ellison?
Yeah, see. So, one, I wouldn't know if that is his grandkids or if he's covering up. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Who knows? But to choose to not fly with your team, I think that's kind of a slap in the face just because, you know, we're supposed to be a team. We're not doing so great right now in the season. And, you know, to get a win, okay, yeah, we can celebrate as a team back at home. Not to, you stay there, I'm going to go back, and then I somehow see on the news, oh, yeah, you're out there partying, having fun. You know, we don't know if you're intoxicated or not in that photo. I just think it's like a slap in the face, you know, to kind of send the guys home. Hey, you guys go home. I'm going to go have fun. And we're still only won one game. I mean, come on now. We're trying to build a program here and have a culture here. And we're all getting paid in the NFL. So it's kind of like this is a serious job. You're here to come get meetings. We got to get better. You know, we won, celebrate that night, have a little fun the next day. But we got to be a team. We got to be a team.
Well, yeah, and I mean, to be honest, like if you look, they're 0-4 actually. I mean, So
dang, I thought they won that game.
Well, I mean, if you were looking at the celebration by Urban Meyer, you would assume that they did win the game.
Yeah, I know. See, right there, that shows you that it could have been a one.
But you look at
the way
that.
He was celebrating.
Well, you're saying your original problem right off the bat is, you know, flying as a team, being a team going home, and you get it with the family and stuff, but I mean, let's face it, these guys are all pretty dang rich. They can fly anytime they want to go see their families and stuff, right?
Exactly.
So it bothered you. That was the first thing. Now, would it have bothered you if he would have flown home with the team and then he is out at some other club or even flies back for crying out loud? Would it have still, and then, I mean, obviously not as much, but it would have still bugged you?
You know, when I think about it, you fly with me and you go have fun with family, at, you know, in Jacksonville or, you know, wherever you want to go party that's within range of the, you know, the area that the team practices. That's fine. You know, you can go have fun with them. Just kind of keep it off of social media. You know, we're kind of not happy right now with the situation we have, so that shouldn't be posted out there, you know, in the first place. But then to fly back, I think that's just a little extra. You can wait till a bye week to go see your family. You know, like, again, you're in the NFL. There is no bowl games like in college. So there's no, hey, you know, we still can win six games and go to bowl game. No, we're trying to win some games so we can at least get a wild card game, you know, or at least try to get in a playoff if we can. So, you know, to go do that, I still think that's kind of just wrong, that everybody is all locked in and trying to do their best to win a game, and you're out there having fun thinking this is still – what, Ohio State? No, this is the NFL. Every week is Alabama. you know, as he mentioned, against the Broncos.
Yeah.
This is something to take serious.
Yeah, I love that comment, too. It's like, every week is Alabama. It's like, no, every week is NFL teams. I mean, this is this is harder than every week is Alabama.
Exactly, because everybody wants to win and make that extra cash. So,
yeah, well, I mean, and that's the other thing. A lot of these guys get incentives for when they win and stuff. So when they're 0-4 and they see, hey, coach didn't fly home with us to, you know, to even be a part of the team, and then we see that video, yeah, it's a terrible look. It's just an awful thing.
Not a good look.
Does he make the season? Does he last the season?
I mean, from what I've seen, is he just, you know, was kind of, you know, frowned upon, but he made his apologies. So, you know, he might finish the season, but I don't know how the off season will look, especially if they don't win a game at all. It might not look too good for him.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. Ellison Hubbard joining us. How goes the search, my friend? Can you give us any updates? How much can you actually give us?
I mean, I can give you as much as I've received from coaches. So far, I've only had two offers on the table from, of course, UNC Greeley and then Eastern Kentucky. And then I haven't really got any other offers, but I got a lot of interest. And, you know, I understand because it's kind of a they're still in the season, so it's kind
right.
of a busy season. Guys are trying to keep their jobs, not trying to, you know, drop below one win games and whatnot. So I can understand that. And then there's the bye week, so that's where some more coaches can start talking more, because now they have their plan set of figuring out who they want to bring in early from high school, and then who they want to bring in early, you know, that's transferring, that's actually going to help the team, because they're losing a bunch of players. And so, you know, like Old Dominion has talked to me and said, you know, they're trying to figure out all their notes of who they're recruiting, because this is a big deal. You know, recruiting is a huge deal of who you want to bring in from high school and then who you want to bring in as transfers. Do you want to build up from the ground up, or do you want to bring some guys in and then still bring a transfer leader and whatnot? So, you know, I know it's a little slow right now, but it's still early on. It's only been, about 2 weeks. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm still hopeful. I know that mainly, like I said before, the Conference USA and the American conferences are coming after me. And that's closer to home. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and how much of that, last one on that one, Ellison, how much of it do you, when you get those offers, like you said, the two so far, and then even the conversations, how much do you look at it and say, hey, what does the current depth chart look like at the defensive line? I know you're asking that, but, I mean, that's obviously, you know, your main reason for leaving CSU, so you're having those questions with them, right? You're like saying, hey, if I go there, what would that look like as far as my playing time?
Yeah, and mostly they're telling me that right off the bat through text or through calls. They're saying, you know, we're very low on depth, or we're very young. We have guys leaving, and we need a leader to come in right away and, you know, kind of take over for us, you know, in this 1 year or whatever the case may be, kind of steer us in that right direction. And I, you know, I like those conversations. I'm like, okay, that sounds very good, that, you know, I can come in there. I can bring in my 6 year experience and my ability to help win something here at whatever program I go to. So, you know, I always ask still, even though they say, to be like, okay, what does it look like? Do you think I'm going to make an impact right away? You go like, of course you are. You know, you still got to show. You still got to earn it. There's no just coming in there and go like, hey, you're 6 years. Okay, yeah, you're going to start. No, you got to still show us and earn it, which is not hard for me. You know, I'm having the time to train and get better. But, you know, that's the main thing, is what I'm looking for is who needs somebody right away, not a guy for depth or just to have in the D-line room, you know.
Talking to Ellison Hubbard. Ellison, just looking forward. I mean, you're going to be watching some college football tomorrow, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, of course.
Man, there's some big ones. How about, let's look at some of the big ones on the docket. A team you're very familiar with, Boise State. Boise State's playing BYU. BYU sitting at number 10. They're 5-0. Now, BYU's only a 6-point favorite. But this, you kind of get the sense here that maybe this could this be a blowout? Boise State's a good football team, but BYU's got to prove right now that they're the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what BYU is going to do. Boise's just not been the same as we've seen, and they came into some close losses against some very, you know, Power 5 teams, and, you know, BYU is a Power 5, but they're ranked. And so, well, they could be Power 5 now that they're about to go to Big 12, but anyway, they're ranked, and so I think that might be a tough one for Boise. They need to get better at their run game. I've seen that's kind of a flaw they have right now. And so, and especially losing Nevada last week, I mean, you know, BYU is a lot powerful than Nevada, in my opinion. So I think that might be a game that Boise has to really step up if they want to win.
How about Penn State, Iowa, number 3, Iowa? That team, of course, you were there not too long ago, going up against Penn State. Iowa is, I mean, this seems like this could be just a slobber knocker of a game. Iowa is favored by 1.5 in this one.
Wow. See, you know, last week, two weeks ago when they played us, they looked, kind of shaky. Nobody knew if Iowa was going to be number 5 still, and of course they were after the win against us, but still we gave them a good battle. Maryland probably thought they were going to do the same thing as us, and Iowa just ran away with it and took that all the way back to Iowa with them. And then, you know, now they're playing a pretty good Penn State team. I think they're going to get challenged this game. I think Penn State's going to bring all they got. And Iowa, they're going to have to, you know, play the same way they did against Maryland, or they might play, you know, like they did against us, and that's not going to be good. And that's going to actually be, you know, a challenge to stay number 5, or they might drop out of it. You know, this is the game they got to win. And, you know, so far I think Iowa might have this one in a 1.5 favorite.
Well, this is the one I know you have circled. Georgia, Auburn, 1:30 on CBS. I know, I mean, the debate right now, Alabama or Georgia. Well, if you're Georgia, you got to go handle Auburn. I think you're 2 touchdown favorites in this one, Ellison.
See, I've been a Georgia fan all my life. And, you know, every year Georgia, especially in these past, you know, 4 years or so, they went to the championship and they played Alabama. It was heartbreaking to see how are you winning and lose, you know. But now I think Georgia is just going to run away with this season. Honestly, I think they might go undefeated, especially with Auburn. I mean, Auburn has looked, you know, I love Bobo and that staff, but I think it's just a lot more on their plate this week. And Georgia, just in the last game, they were 99-0 against opponents. So Auburn might sneak a touchdown in there, but I think Georgia might just take this one.
Ellison,
you know,
wasn't the offensive coordinator for Georgia before CSU? Wasn't that where he was?
Yeah, he was.
Wow.
He was.
Good. Are you shooting him a text at all? Like, hey, you know, sorry.
Yeah,
We're going to.
I told him good luck against Georgia this week. I know it's very busy, you know, coming off that close win against LSU. I know he's been up, like, all day, you know, no sleep getting ready to beat Georgia if he can. I know that's going to be bittersweet for him.
You mean coaches are constantly focused on game planning and they're not out, you know, getting dances and stuff? You mean they're focused on football? Oh, sorry, I had to do it one more time.
No, I'm talking about they don't sleep, Brady. They might sleep at the stadium.
That's what I'm saying. It's like we all have this image of coaches, and I think a lot of it's true. A lot of these coaches, like, they're just grinding all the time. Like, they're working all the time. And then so when you see Urban Meyer, you're like, man, what is this? So, yeah, that's my last one on that one.
That was funny.
On the NFL side of things, Broncos Steelers, our poll question today, is it panic time if the Broncos drop this one on the road, but to a Pittsburgh team that's reeling right now?
It's very panic time. If you drop it to the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers have just looked, I mean, like they're just going down the drain at this point. I mean, Big Ben might need to retire now, honestly. I saw they have memes on Twitter and videos of him just running and falling while throwing the ball. I mean, I don't even know if a ghost tripped you over or what the case may be. You know, I'm hoping that defense, you know, shuts down the Steelers' offense. And, is Teddy cleared to play or is it still in the air?
We're going to talk to our Broncos guy coming up after you, Ellison.
Okay.
So we're going to find out. But my guess is yes, because he did practice yesterday. So
okay.
I'm thinking we're going to get there.
I'm expecting Teddy to come out a lot stronger than he did against the Ravens and actually might, you know, win this game in a way. So, you know, Drew Lock. I mean, maybe if he plays, hopefully he practiced more. I remember hearing you say he didn't practice much, and
right. He
went out there and looked awful. So, you know, we'll see. Depending on the quarterback situation, I still think that if Teddy's in there, the Broncos are going to win this one, a bounce back.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I'll get my official picks later, but I'm kind of leaning that way. How about the game? Fast forward to I think I told you Monday night, Sunday night football. Chiefs are playing host to the Buffalo Bills. Bills are 3-1. They had a weird start to the season, but since then they're getting it right on track. The Chiefs are 2-2, but I think all of us just feel like it's just a matter of time until the Chiefs get it figured out.
Yeah, it is a matter of time. I still think they're going to be in one heck of a matchup Sunday night against the Bills. The Bills' defense has been amazing, especially on my fantasy team. I'm getting like 16 or 20 points for the defense. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like Sunday night against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs can score. So, you know, it's going to be a battle, but I have the Bills coming out on top just because they've been rolling.
Wow, there it is, and man.
Yeah, the Bills Mafia. They've been rolling. They're not going to stop now.
They're going to keep going. Okay, how about this last one, and we'll let you go, Ellison. The other one I think is an interesting game is the Browns-Chargers, both teams 3-1. The Browns are just gritty right now. Baker Mayfield's hurt. He won't admit it. He's not playing great, but he is really hurt.
Yeah.
But they are finding ways to win. Nick Chubb is running the ball all over the place. However, the Chargers and Justin Herbert, they look, I know they lost one, but they look almost unbeatable right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one just because, you know, Baker, what does he have, 2 touchdowns in the last?
Yeah.
That's the fewest in the season right now, so the second fewest. So, I mean, if you can't throw the ball, I mean, let alone Nick Chubb gets me about 11 points on fantasy. So, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because the way they played the Vikings, or excuse me, whoever they played last week, I can't remember right now. Mine is cluttered. But, you know, when they played last week, it wasn't powerful enough as I would think they were, you know, last year, you know, going to play the Chiefs in the, you know, finals right there. So I honestly think right here that the Chargers are going to have to keep winning, and they might win this game because, like you said, Baker's not admitting he's hurt, and let alone not getting anybody the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, well, you were right about that Vikings game. They win, but barely.
Yeah.
Ellison, my friend, always appreciate your insight and your time. Glad you can still give us that time on Fridays, man, as we bump into another busy football weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Watch the Rams tomorrow, because I still go for my teammates. So.
Are the Rams win? Are they going to beat San Jose State?
Yeah, of course they are. They're not that from what I've seen and what I've heard, they're not that powerful in offense. So our defense should just, you know, demolish them. And our offense might, you know, can keep rolling off of the defense momentum and score and pick this dub home.
Oh, hey, I know it means a lot to a lot of your former teammates, man. They all still think the world of you. So so many people that have come in contact with you. Ellison, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
All right, man. Ellison Hubbard, there he is. We're still keeping that connection, man. That guy's going to go places. He's a media guy. He'll be in the media someday, I'm sure. Once the football career, whenever that is over, but he'll be in the media. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here real fast. When we come back, we got a short segment, and then we're going to load up with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
I just have a little bit of time here. We're going to take a break. But I do, Nico Carvacho right there. I saw something on Twitter last night. I don't know how serious it is, but he did get hurt in the game, of course. So I don't know how long he's going to be out at this time. But there's a CSU Rams legend right there. So hope all is on the mend for you, my friend, Nico Carvacho. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. If the Broncos lose Sunday to Pittsburgh, is it panic time for Denver? 66% of the Broncos or of the fans say no, it's not panic time. I think it is. The schedule coming up is nasty. You got to prove that you can beat a team like Pittsburgh on the road. We're going to catch up with Zach Stevens next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
37 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And Zach, whenever you got to go, you got to go, because Vic Fangio waits for no man. I know you're waiting on a press conference there at a moment. So when you got to go, just say bye-bye, and we'll be done with the interview.
Well, right on. I think we'll be able to make it all the way through. But, yeah, we're just waiting on the big news on if Teddy Bridgewater is officially cleared from the concussion protocol, because Brady, all signs point to him being cleared and all signs point to him being able to play this week, which I think is the difference between winning and losing this game.
Wow. So, I mean, in everything that you and I've talked throughout the week and even back and forth via text, and then seeing, you know, that he's out with the team yesterday, you're sure going to be shocked, right, if we hear that Teddy Bridgewater can't play on Sunday.
Exactly. Yeah, I think at this point it would just come down to him reacting poorly and having a setback to practicing. But he's practiced. He was out with the team on Wednesday. He practiced on a limited basis yesterday and has had no setbacks. So I would be very surprised if he had a setback today, especially Brady, because of how good he felt that Sunday night after the concussion, Monday after the concussion. Everything has been pointing that he'll be able to play.
All right, so I'm gonna take that. I believe in it. Sounds like he's gonna go, which is huge because the Broncos, they're 3-1, but it does feel kind of like a 3-1 on glass at this point. It's yeah. A scary time, yeah. Still.
Yes, it absolutely does, because going into last week, there was the narrative that, okay, the Broncos haven't beaten anyone. What can they do against a good team? And they laid an egg last week against a good team. The Steelers, they're better than the first three teams, but they're the worst team in this four-game stretch that the Broncos have of the Ravens, the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Browns. So they need to win this game in order to show that, okay, maybe they can't hang with the Ravens yet, but they can beat teams that aren't terrible, aren't bottom of the league.
We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, I'm assuming you're always there. I was listening to some sound bites from Pat Shurmur on the run game. And I mean, what is happening there? Pat said, hey, I am dedicated to running the football. We are dedicated. I believe in running the football. How do you say that when you look back at this last game? And, I mean, you and I talked about this on Tuesday. You know, you bring in a backup quarterback. The game's not out of reach, but you only run it four times. What's going on with Shurmur on that run game solution?
Yeah, I mean, he did everything but straight up said, I'm sorry for only running it four times, because he made it clear that he likes to run the ball. And then actually at one point said, you know, I need to be better as a coach. The team needs to be better. And I don't know if you can hear that, but the Broncos are preparing for some crowd noise right now behind me at practice. And Pat Shurmur realizes that, especially when you have a backup quarterback in, you can't run the ball just four times. And the way that they tried to justify it was, well, when you have second and 10, and when you get in these situations, and when you're losing, when you only have three and outs, it's tough to run the ball. Well, I don't care. You need to find a way to run the ball. And it's easy. First and 10, run the ball, especially when you're averaging 6 yards per carry and both of your backs are looking good.
I mean, it just sets up perfectly to run the ball. Backup quarterback, you're already depleted at wide receiver. You don't have as many weapons there. Your offensive line, it seems like they were doing better blocking for the run than they were protecting the quarterback with all the injuries they had. So, man, it just set up perfectly to run the football on Sunday.
Yeah, it did, and Brady, this is going to be another test where you're going to want to keep T.J. Watt from pinning his ears back and attacking. Mm. Regardless of if it's Teddy or if it's Drew, you're going to need to have a running game and commit to that, because if you're putting these guys back to pass three times in a row, T.J. Watt is going to do bad things to Bobby Massey, to Garrett Bowles, and to Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he's a dangerous man. Well, on that side of it, what can we expect from the offensive line? Dalton Reisner, Graham Glasgow, are they expected to play on Sunday?
Dalton Reisner is absolutely expected to play. I am 100% counting on him to play just as well as I am with Teddy playing. Graham Glasgow, he is definitely trending in the right direction. I think this is going to be a game-time decision more so than Justin Reisner. And the reason for that is he's practiced every single day this week, but his injury was a little more significant. So if it's not Graham, it's Mookie, but at least you have Dalton back.
Man, they are preparing for a raucous crowd on Sunday. Yeah. It's going to be nuts in Pittsburgh, right?
and here's the thing. This is a big game for the Broncos to show that they can compete with better teams in the league. But this is a monster game for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is on a three-game streak right now. They're 0-2 at home. If they drop this game, I mean, you can't come back from 1-4. You can come back from 2-3, and if they pick up a win, that's what they would be. So as desperate as the Broncos team, the Steelers are even more desperate, which is the scary part of this game.
I feel like it could go one of two ways. I suppose we can always win or lose. But I feel like it's either, okay, the Steelers are done, Ben Roethlisberger's goose is cooked, he's on his way out, or they have that, you know, that rebound game where suddenly, oh, not so fast, Big Ben still has work to do.
Yeah, and it comes down to Ben, but here's the crazy thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since the beginning of 2019, well, no, actually, the end of the 2017 season, when the Pittsburgh Steelers rushed for 87 yards or more with Ben as the quarterback, they haven't lost a game. They're 15-0-1. When they don't run for 87 yards and put it all on Ben's shoulders, then they're below 500. So it's crazy to look at a stat like that. And just kind of like the Broncos with running the ball and say, how are they not running the ball more, especially when they have Najee Harris? But they're using Najee in the first-round running back out of Alabama. They're using him in the offense, but they're using him as a pass catcher, which, sure, he can do that, but he's also a running back. Run the ball with him. And so if the Steelers just abandon the run like the Broncos did last week, then the Broncos should be set in a great position, not just to win on defense, but to win the game.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that. When you look at the stats, yeah, he's getting a lot of work on the receiving side, but you really expected, I mean, I think a lot of fantasy owners picked him up early because they expected this guy was going to be the offense, both running and receiving.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just two games ago, he had 14 receptions. That is insane. For a star number one receiver. That is insane for a running back. And that just shows you either how much they don't trust their offensive line, how their offensive coordinator just gets so far away from the playbook, or Ben is just back there saying, nope, this is my last year. I'm going to make sure I throw the ball 60 times every game.
I'm just dropping it off and letting him get some yards for me. All right, so how do the Broncos combat that? You know, you look at their receiving core. Juju Smith-Schuster, I mean, he hasn't had the career he's wanted since what? He held out or whatever, but he's still a threat. Chase Claypool, obviously Deontay Johnson has some nice numbers, but how do the Broncos go about stopping that running back when, you know, if he's not going to run, we know he's going to be catching some passes.
Yeah, and that's when you have to use these fast linebackers, just like Justin Snott. This could be a big game for him. Mm. Or how about you get some more reps for Caden Stearns? The guy has not got very many reps these past couple of weeks, but when he has taken full advantage of those. So Brady, if I'm Vic, I'm putting my trust in the rookie here, at least to be on the field sometime, prove that he's worth it. Or you could also do Justin Simmons, but I think it's going to be more so of the linebacker route. But one thing is, you cannot be slow on him coming out of the backfield. You have to have a guy that is 100% dedicated to him, because he is a guy, when he has the ball, whether he's catching the ball out of the backfield or running the ball, he's electric, and he's really tough to take down.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting for sure. And all right, so our poll question today, Zach, is we're asking the question, hey, if the Broncos lose to Pittsburgh on Sunday, are we panicking?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I agree.
Because then it'll be, well, who have the Broncos beat?
Uh-huh.
They beat winless teams when they've played them. And sure, those teams have some wins since, but they're not very good wins. And now you're coming home in probably a make-or-break game for the season. So I think this is one. But then the following week against the Raiders, who are 4-1, or who have the chance to be 4-1 after playing the Bears this week, which they're 5.5-point favorites, they should win. That's going to be a monster game, because if the Broncos lose that, they're probably absolutely going to lose to the Browns on a short Thursday night game in Cleveland. And then you're staring at 3-4, Brady, and you're staring at a 4-game losing streak. That 3-0 start seems like such a distant memory. So that's why this game this week is absolutely huge. And I think for the Broncos to prove that they're a contender for the playoffs, they had to go 2-2, at least 2-2. In this 4-game stretch, and you can't leave it for these last two games against the Raiders and the Browns that you have to win. So that's why you got to pick up this game. You had to pick up one of the first two, and then you kind of have to beat the Raiders in order for it to get this.
Yeah, no doubt about it, my friend. I couldn't agree with you more. Zach, always love your insight here. Love what you do. Love your work, your podcast, your writing, everything. Nobody better in my book. So just appreciate you. Keep up the good work, and you know, tell them to crank up that crowd noise. Man, it sounds like a party out there.
It does sound like, and you know, they play Renegade during Steelers games. So to start practice, They've played it three straight times here today. But Brady, I love being on two times a week now, my man.
I can't thank you enough. Our listeners absolutely love the insight from somebody that's in the trenches nonstop. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Right on. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. And they're cranking it up, man. They're preparing for a loud crowd. I mean, Pittsburgh, it is must win for Pittsburgh. They're sitting at 1-3. They lose that game 1-4. I don't know what the stats show. They don't look good for 1-4 teams to go and make the playoffs after that. But I look at the schedule like this. Steelers, if you lose that game, you're home against the Raiders. What's going to make you feel like they can beat the Raiders if they can't go on the road and beat the Steelers? And then you're at Cleveland, and that game's interesting too because Cleveland's winning games right now despite the fact that Baker Mayfield has been awful. I mean, he's hurt. I think he's pretty hurt, good enough to play, but they might actually get to the point in 3 weeks where they're fine, where Baker's better, he's feeling better, whatever. So you might catch Cleveland at a terrible time. So I do believe it's panic time if you don't beat the Steelers on Sunday. It's an early game, too. And the Broncos sometimes struggle with those early games. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. Before we do that, I want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They have a great relationship with CSU, a 50-plus year-long relationship with Colorado State University. And between Colorado State University and Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, they've been treating CSU athletes since 1969. So my point is, if they're working and treating athletes, getting them equipped to get back out on the field and do it all over again, you know darn right they can handle you. They can handle us. Over the years, they've expanded their services to meet the needs of the student-athletes, coaches, staff, residents of Fort Collins, Greeley, Loveland, the Front Range area. That's Orthopedic Spine Center of the Rockies. Their website is orthohealth.com. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up hour number one. Football Friday is coming up right after 1 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO Now, weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hall Show. Thanks for being with us here on this Friday, October 8th. Thanks to On the Rocks Liquor for providing our game beer of the week. This one's from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. Death Before Taxes Porter. Pick up selections from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Also, stop by On the Rocks this tonight, 4 o'clock. They got the free tastings going on over there. The great folks from the Shine Shop. They work with us here. They're advertisers on the station. So, I mean, that obviously is an amazing thing, but their stuff is so good. We had a networking event out at the Shine Shop last week, and, man, everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. So they're going to be out there at On the Rocks. You can hear what all the fuss is about and try some stuff for free while you're out there. Maybe you're going to find a new go-to. That's On the Rocks Liquor, Shine Shop. Joining forces Friday at 4, or today at 4 o'clock. First event is text line 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Our First Advantage text line, or hotline, I should say, is 970-353-1310. You're going to need that because I have some Windsor Mill gift cards that we're going to give away in the second hour. But you got to give predictions. I want local predictions. I'm sitting over 500 there. I mean, it's not great, but it's over 500. Locally, I'm doing all right. You'd think that this show is about Northern Colorado sports and Colorado sports or something. I'm sitting at 9-8. I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy, but it's better than my 3-7 national picks. I pick one college game, one at-large college game, and one at-large NFL game, and I'm sitting at 3-7. My Thursday night special record is bad. I think I'm 1-4. I feel like I'm getting robbed, though. I'm getting robbed of momentum moments in these games. You know, you get a couple weeks ago when I took the Raiders. I think they tried to sneak it on fourth and goal. They didn't get it, and then that changed the game around. Seattle could go up 14-3. There's a holding call, so they'd settle for a field goal. They missed the field goal, so it's 7-3 Seattle at the half. And then shortly after that, Russell Wilson messes with his finger, and that could be bad. He could be out this week, next week. So, yeah, I know. No excuses. I got to get back into the film room and figure this thing out. We got to get right. I got plenty of weeks to get over 500. But 1-4, missing the playoffs at this stage. So I got to go on a hell of a streak. Football Friday is coming up next. Broncos Steelers talk. Teddy going to go? And if so, are we feeling much better about the weekend coming up? We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.